Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Willie Donnett coming up at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and the plan moving forward. Joe, Big League Designs on YouTube says, I bet a lot of the Fire Hines people are the same who said preseason there was no way Nashville would make the playoffs. He accomplished what most didn't think he would happen, and suddenly he's trash. Do people think this Preds roster is capable of winning the cup, but it's just missing Trotz or any other coach you want to name? It's coming from Big League Designs on YouTube.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. From someone whose hockey knowledge I very much respect, a point that I hadn't really considered, but go back to the Arizona series. Remember the reaction, and it was warranted, I think outrage or pretty close to it, to some of the comments from the players about like how they thought they played well, and they were better and all this stuff. Like that was and I hadn't thought about it in these terms, but that was a great example of like culture change needed. Now, again, that series is on John Hines' record here, so, you know, he was the coach. But I think that since then, and really since the first couple months of the following season, I think you have seen, as much as I hate the term, the culture change to get away from some of that stuff. Yeah, they've become a tougher team. Again, if you think that it's a really good roster in that time, then that's fine. Then it's Hines. It's on Hines. I would disagree with that.
Well, and look, I'm not going to sit here and give John Hines a pass for the Arizona series. I mean, that was a series they should have won. Saros didn't play well. And you had the Duchesne offsides play there that we can go back and revisit and go round and round on all the time. But the Predators, they should have won that series, and then they didn't, and then you moved on from Craig Smith, and Kyle Turris got bought out, and all these different things happened after that, and that sort of led to, you know, the roster shift that's taking place right now that Willie was talking about earlier. And, you know, Willie was very spirited, I guess is the right word, yesterday on the DDC, talking about the plan for the Predators. And there were people calling in yesterday left and right about, well, I don't think there is a plan. I don't think the Predators have a clear plan or a clear path forward. And Willie's thoughts on the matter were, you know, you may not like the plan, but the plan has been laid out pretty clearly in terms of competitive transition. And Willie went through all the moves that were made, including, you know, obviously moving on from Arvidsson and Ellis and getting younger there, moving on from Craig Smith, moving on from all these different guys who were getting older, and bringing them in with, you know, Trennan and Janot and Tomasino and all these young guys that you can transition from that they brought in the last couple of years. And I agree with that. Like, they've gone from, I think at the time that they played in that Arizona series, I want to say they were the second oldest team in the league. And, you know, they still had, I think Hamus was on the roster, Pekka was on the roster, so that adds to it. But they were the second oldest team in the league, if memory serves me correctly. And now they are one of the younger teams in the league. So by that standpoint, yes, that has been the plan, and that's what the Predators have done the last couple of years. So I agree with Willie. Like, I think there is a plan that the Predators have. Where my reservation comes up and what is a different discussion to me is the plan a good one? And I'm not convinced that it is. Like, we see teams try to rebuild while staying competitive, and a lot of times it just doesn't work out. You end up either getting stuck in the middle, or by the time your younger players are ready to be factors for you, your older guys and your core guys have aged out of it, and you're right back to where you started, which is in the middle. So I don't know that that's going to happen with the Predators. Maybe they get things figured out, and next year they're a playoff team again. They can make some noise in the playoffs. I have no clue what's going to happen that way and who the matchup would be if they make the playoffs next year. Because, again, you know, you play against Calgary, maybe they're still alive, and we're talking about a game six coming up in the playoffs. I have no idea. But I always get nervous when you're trying to do both at the same time, trying to remain competitive while retooling the roster and getting younger, because I think that's a pretty good formula to end up right in the middle. And as Adam Vingan has said, and I agree to a certain extent, one of the worst places in sports to be is in the middle with no clear path of how you're going to get out of there.
Yeah, and you know, I think fans will tire of that. It's just, it's a good thing for the Nashville Predators, for Nashville, that they made the run they made, that they gained the fans they gained, and that the expectations changed. That's all. Those are all good things. That also creates a situation where being pretty good and, yay, anything can happen in this tournament, and you just got into the playoffs and you're in the playoffs again, that's not, I mean, that's not good enough anymore. That's great, you know. But the hard part is, how do you get back to that? You know, it's the rebuild. I think we would both be on team not tank, right? Like, total tank.
Well, that depends on what happens with Forsberg. But
well,
yes.
Yeah. But even, okay, so let's say they lose Forsberg. I think you can still actually rebuild without tanking, right?
I agree. I just, to me, the question always goes back to, how are you getting yourself to the status of Stanley Cup contender? And, you know, look, I think the Preds, they've drafted some guys the last couple of years that I think could be players. Like, I like Igor Afanasyev. I don't know what he's going to be at the NHL level. I like Philip Tomasino. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's going to be a top six player. I'm not sure that he's going to be an elite player. And I understand that just because, let's say they did tank, I understand going that route doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to draft elite players. So I get that. And sometimes, I mean, look at Buffalo. They even did draft an elite player, and they still couldn't do it right and get out of the rebuild. So sometimes you're just stuck in that cycle. I understand all that. But if you don't have Forsberg, and let's say that, I mean, the obvious counter to that would be, well, they go get Johnny Gaudreau. Let's say neither one of those works out for you. I just don't see it with this team next year. I just don't see the path. Maybe they make the playoffs, even though I wouldn't pick them to make the playoffs. They're certainly not a Stanley Cup contender, and that's what I keep going back to. How do you get back to being a Stanley Cup contender? And right now, I don't know what the answer to that is based on the current trajectory that they're going, because I don't believe that this core is good enough to win a cup. And I don't know how you get out of that without going the full rebuild.
Yeah. Well, so that gets into defining, you know, full rebuild. Is full rebuild tanking? You know, trying to basically, like, go super young, trade off most of your core for picks and prospects, know that you're going to be bad, embrace being maybe really bad, and trying to be at the top of a couple of drafts. Is that how you define full rebuild?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, well, then that's – okay, so your definition of full rebuild is basically tanking.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess what's – because to me, you could still shake things up if you sign Forsberg. You could still shake things up. So the cap space will be what? I mean, they're going to have, let's see, in the 20s, in the high 20s, yep, in cap space. Okay? That's pretty significant.
It's pretty good.
I mean, remember, if you re-sign Forsberg, you know, let's say it's $9 million. Well, yeah, but that's only, I mean, that's adding three.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's making six right now. So, I mean, you have money. So is it feasible? And this, I'll be interested to ask Willie this. Is it feasible, given what's out there and what you have and what's coming back, if you re-sign Forsberg, that you could spend that money and in this offseason turn yourself next year into a quasi-contender?
It would
take so many things breaking your way.
Well, you need
like
to be,
Ellie Tolvin, and all of a sudden it's good.
Yeah. I mean, your defense core too, right? Like right now, your defense core is not good enough. Like Yossi, obviously, is good enough. I still think Ekholm's a good player. Outside of those two, I don't really know what you have. Like, I think Carrier is good. Is Carrier good enough to be a top four defenseman in the playoffs? I thought he got shoved around in this last series. Fabro, I just don't know if he's good enough to be a top four defenseman in a playoff series against an elite team. So it's not like they just – people keep acting like they're like one or two top six forwards away from being this elite team. I don't think that's the case at all. Like, I think there's work to do on defense, you know, and then there's the other part of this. Are Duchesne and Forsberg, if they're back next year, are they going to score 40 goals a pop? Like, I have a tough time believing that, too. I think this team is – it's not as simple to me as you just add a top six forward or two and you're right there with Colorado. I think it's way – they're way further away than that.
So maybe something like trading a Duchesne or a Johansson to try to really load up with youth? I mean, so if you sign Forsberg and you did something like that and you still have a pretty good core – that, to me, is kind of the in-between rebuild.
Yeah.
Which could work. You know, I mean, you could still be a playoff team next year in that scenario, depending on what you get back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you could be.
I mean, maybe one of those two guys now that they actually both look way more attractive, I think, to other teams, and their contracts are not non-starters, maybe that's where you look.
It could be. I mean, I got a tough time believing Johansson. That there'd be a lot of people lining up to sign him. Like, I think he's really important to the Predators, and he was really good this year.
Eight's high.
Like, there's just not a lot. That's the other part of this. There's not a lot of teams that have cap space to take on those guys. That's why you can make an argument the Predators in a good spot, because they do have cap space, and you could be players in free agency. But there's not a lot of teams that have that. So if you wanted to trade a Duchesne, and there were people on our text line yesterday talking about get out now with Duchesne because he will never be as good again as he just was this past season. And look, quite honestly, I think there's a good chance he might never be as good again as he was this past season. He's 31. He'll be 32 next year, and he just put up over 80 points and scored 43 goals.
Remind me his specific NMC.
It's a limited no-movement clause, and honestly, I need to go back and take a look at it. I can't remember if it was the first few years or the last few years. I need to go back and look at it.
I'll look at it. We'll get him traded by the end of the show.
Thank you. We've got a lot of your thoughts to get to. Hang with us on our phone line as well. We'll get to you coming up on the other side. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, this is a major game changer. In fact, it has been called a medical breakthrough for erectile dysfunction. If you're out there struggling, maybe you don't like reaching for that pill, dealing with the side effects, Hillside Medical uses the most advanced form of wave therapy. Pressure waves can now clinically open up and regrow blood vessels. That's a great thing. It's more blood flow, and we've helped a lot of couples reverse the ED without the use of pills, and that means no more side effects.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
Well, it is quite extensive. If you go to hillsidemedicalclinic.com, you can read now approaching 60 studies. All over the world, these have come from universities, hospitals. One study said this leads to a clinical increase in blood flow, exactly what a man with erectile dysfunction needs.
And, Andrew, you have a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
ED doesn't go away on its own, guys. Call us now. We'll set you up for the assessment, the exam, the ultrasound. We'll do it all free. You'll get a gift that I don't think I've ever heard of this failing, frankly, produces immediate results in the bedroom worth hundreds of dollars. It's totally free to callers now.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Willie Donick coming up at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds and the plan for the Preds as they move forward. Now let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate from Columbia who wants to weigh in. Nate, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. Shocker. I was one of the people that called in yesterday upset and didn't think there was a plan, but probably because, you know, we just got swept and, you know, I was all in my feels. After having about 24 hours to you know, think about what's going on. I think my biggest issue as a fan is that the Preds have made the playoffs for 8 years straight. And yeah, that might be a good thing for the revenue and everything. I understand that it's business. But when you make the playoffs for 4 years and not get past the first or second round, I feel like it's a problem. Because every time you make the playoffs, there are expectations with fans. What do y'all think about that?
Hey, thanks for the call. Look, I agree totally. Like I said this earlier in the show. They've been here for almost 25 years. They've made it past the second round of the playoffs one time. Now, there's a lot to be said about consistency, and the Predators, to their credit, have built a team that when they don't make the playoffs, it's almost jarring. Like they've made the playoffs 8 years in a row. It's the second longest streak in the league, so they deserve a lot of credit for that. Now, having said that, the playoff success just really hasn't been there. Obviously, we keep talking about 2017. That's the only time they've ever been past the second round ever in the history of their franchise. So I totally understand the fans out there who say, yeah, we're tired of just making the playoffs and that being it. I totally get that, and I'd be the same way. So I have no problem with the fans out there who say, yeah, making the playoffs is great. It's great that it's good for business. We want more than just making the playoffs. Have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, if you want to get into the arguing of this, you know, this can be like political arguments. You know, you, whatever side you're on, you can spin it. You know, you can spin it. You can say, look at the consistency. I mean, there's one franchise that's been to the postseason more than 8 times in a row, the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then you can, and I'm not saying you're spinning it, but again, I'm just saying, like, on the other side of it is what you just said, which is they've been past the second round one time. David Poile, the winningest GM ever. Or the guy who, you know, has never won a cup and has been to 2 conference finals in a very, very long career. There's a consistency. There's, I think, a lot of achievement in all of that. And there is the question of why haven't you, in all that time, been able to figure out a way to get over the top? Now, we all know that early in David Poile's tenure, it was a different situation, right? It was yep. He was not playing on the same field as most of his cohorts around the league. But he has been for quite a while now.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Wayne. Wayne, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Thank you for taking my call, Joe. I have an assignment I wish you would undertake.
Uh-oh.
And that assignment is to do some investigative reporting on the Predators ownership group and the finances of the Predators, based on my contention that all of this competitive rebuild, the bottom line, the cause of this is the organization is losing money. They definitely lost money the past 2 years, primarily because of the pandemic, not being able to have fans in the arena and all of that. But they are losing money. And that has been the root cause of all of this that's being talked about. But that's under the surface. So I totally agree with Adam Bingham about that ownership should speak to the media, hold a press conference. I don't think Adam did a very good job when he was asked why. Why you want to hear from the ownership group? Well, I want to hear from the ownership group and ask them, what kind of condition is the organization in financially? Is it true y'all have lost money the past 2 years and are continuing to lose money? And see what they say. They need to talk on that, the finances of the organization. And this competitive rebuild is just an extension of that, a nice way of saying, you know, to avoid the real cause of the problem.
Hey, thanks for the call, Wayne. We appreciate it. I mean, I've heard that thrown out there, like, why are the Predators not spending to the cap? Why are the Predators not out there at free agency being aggressive the last couple of years? Now, you can make the argument of, well, if you're going younger, you can't really get all that younger by spending a lot of money in free agency. Now, they do have cap space, and we'll see what they do this summer. But
well, this summer is when they need to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. And, you know, obviously, I think to Wayne's point, the whole league's lost money the last couple of years. Do the Predators, I'll put it this way, does David Poile still have the green light to spend that money? That would be a question I'd like to know the answer to.
It's a great question. It's a great call by Wayne. And the problem, of course, when you talk about trying to find these things out, this proprietary information, yeah. And you know, that's not easy information to get, of course. You know, I covered a college beat. You put in a Freedom of Information Act request, and they must give you their entire financial. Any public university has to give you every number you could possibly have. It's not the same thing with private business. But I think it's a great point, and I absolutely – we've talked about this.
Yeah.
You know, there you can't – you know, Poile, you know, is the – I think the guy who gets most blame, except for people who want to be misguided and talk about Hines. But there is the ownership element, and that is part of why. Now, what are they going to say? Are they going to say, well – we lost this much this year. You know, they're probably going to say things are fine. But it's still like a question that I'd like to see them field. I'd like to see them field any question.
Well, and going back to your point that you made yesterday on Jared versus Joe, you know, I think it's obviously pretty important to the Predators ownership group that they make the playoffs, which is why rebuilding could be something they have no interest in.
Now, if you're looking at a couple games every year over time, are you happy? Is that enough?
Right.
I would think not. But, yeah. It's important. It's important for them. It's important for a lot of other franchises in this league. They aren't printing money like the NFL. So I think it's absolutely something that always has to be kept in mind. And that's definitely a question for David Poile. Whenever they have their end-of-season presser. By the way, Vingan texted me earlier and said it was a week after the end of last season.
Yeah, May 27th to June 3rd.
Yeah, that surprised me a little bit. In my mind, I thought usually it was about 2, 3, 4 days, but anyway. So maybe we'll look for next week for something. But that's certainly a question for David Poile. Are you still completely free to spend to the cap? Sure hope so.
Let's very quickly go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob from Franklin. Rob, thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you, and good morning. So let's play a translation game. So you've got a competitive rebuild, translation, job security for Poile. Got, we're going to quietly sign Forsberg, translation, misguided optimism. See Ryan Suter, for example. There's all kinds of things that are going to happen, but one of them is, unfortunately, this guy's not going to get fired because a consortium of owners are going to make a very prudent, very good decision, and they're going to keep him. Because he's going to talk his way into it. And the one thing that is interesting is that his narrative will probably switch a little bit. His narrative will probably switch from competitive rebuild to something a little different. And if we continue to make the eighth spot in the playoffs, we'll continue to have this discussion forever and a day. Not a cool place to be.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate your call. I mean, it's a very interesting spot that they're in, and we'll continue to take your thoughts on it. We've got Willie Donick coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators' plan as they move forward. Mike in Montana, hang with us. We'll get to you after Willie Donick as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Willie Donick from Darren Donick and Chase, also play-by-play broadcaster for Preds TV. Willie, what's going on? How are we doing?
Let's groove tonight. One of my faves. Oh. Great call on the jukebox there. Well done, guys. It's one of my all-time favorites.
It is a jam here on the program, no question about it. Willie, got a little spicy yesterday on the DDC. I loved it.
Well, thank you. I guess. I mean, I definitely have had some spirited conversations with our listeners, which I think is great. I mean, I think that's what I try to keep in mind is I love how passionate the fans for the Predators are. And I understand that when you get swept in a series that people are ticked off. Right, it's hard. It stings, no matter what the circumstances are behind that. And so I think there's definitely a lot of what's going on kind of stuff that's natural. But all I've been trying to do throughout this process is to try to be rational and go back and be realistic about what were the expectations going in when you evaluate the season as a whole. And I think the season was a success, even though when you throw out they've been eliminated in the first round for four straight years. I think if you take a closer look at it, it's very, very different the last 2 years than the two previous years.
So, Willie, to that point, we've talked about this throughout the show today. Obviously, a lot of the discussion was the plan for the Predators. And, you know, Adam brought this up the other day on his hit with you guys on the DDC, and you and him kind of went back and forth on that. And there have been callers calling into us, calling into your show, saying, I don't think the Predators have a plan. I don't see what the plan is for the Predators. And that has been your point of contention. Where do you see the Predators' plan as of today, as you sit here, as they move into the offseason of 2022?
Yeah, I did get some pretty funny texts and tweets, one of them by you, Robbie, about the, hey, Willie, I'm not seeing a plan, because I must have said it a million times. It reminds me of Ted Lasso. If you guys watch Ted Lasso, they had a fun conversation about the plan. And, of course, in Britain, it's plan. You know, and that plan, that got a good laugh. But, guys, when they lost in the bubble to Arizona in 2020, I think that's when they set in motion where they are today. And the Peter Laviolette era, which I think sort of extended into when they hired John Hines, that was one era that I think came to a close then, when they started then moving veterans, Nick Bonino, Craig Smith, Victor Arvidsson, on down the line, Ryan Ellis. They knew they had to get younger, and they knew they had to get bigger and stronger. That's how they wanted to play. They wanted to change the way they played. And that was going to be a process, as we knew. And so I think if you look at the last 2 years, I know this year very few people picked them to make the playoffs, if any. And last year, I think if you look closely, I don't think a lot of people thought they were going to make the playoffs, but they did both times. So I really don't see how you can say they underachieved the last 2 years, when there was a lot of people clamoring, you got to get younger people in the lineup. You got to get younger. Well, that's exactly what they've done. So as far as the plan is concerned, I think David Poile, if you go back and listen, has been very consistent about what his goals have been. You can't have a powerhouse every year in this league when you have a salary cap, a hard salary cap. It's nearly impossible. So there are going to be cycles, and you can argue, look, they needed to win more playoff series than they did when they had all the horses. Pecorine in his last few years as a prime goalie, when they had P.K. Subban, Ryan Ellis, Roman Josi, when they had the four ace defensemen. Yeah, I think that team missed a window to go deep and maybe win it all one time. There's no question about that. But the last 2 years, I think, have been a very good success, as they've tried to do exactly what they've set out to do, which is rebuild, transition the roster from older to younger.
Yeah, I would mostly agree with that, Willie. I think that the end of this season, and not just, you know, losing Saros, but, you know, before that, they were really faltering, right? I mean, most of April was a real slog. I mean, you go back to March, and this team was still in the mix with St. Louis and Minnesota, and then it very much wasn't by the end. It was holding on to get in the playoffs, then blowing the four. You know, by then, Saros is out. You blow the four-goal lead. I think the way it finished probably makes it feel a little worse than maybe the entirety of the season was. But my question for you, Willie, is on the plan, do you think it can work with this core? Because if they're going to continue on this, then basically you've got this group of guys. I mean, you can go through a lot of other teams. They have a core group. Boston's a great example of kind of keeping that real tight core, changing out a lot of other parts, and kind of roaring back with that, right? Do you think that the guys who are the part of the core here are good enough that you can continue with this and get where you want to go?
Well, that's a good question. In Adam's article, I think that's probably the best question he asked. That's the biggest question in my mind is, you have a very good, solid nucleus of young players that have made great contributions. And a lot of them come off of that dominant Milwaukee team from 2019-2020 that didn't get a chance to play in the playoffs together. But is there that high-end, cheap talent that really can help, you know, throw you over the top and make you elite? You know, closing the gap from being a good team, which they are right now, to a great team that can compete with the best. And Colorado is as elite as it gets. I don't know what they're going to do the rest of the playoffs, but that's an elite team right now that's been built. They've got everything lined up right now. And then next year you're going to see them lose a lot of players, and they're going to have to make tough choices like the Predators did after 17 and 18. They can't keep everybody. They have too many good players. That's how the salary cap works. But, Joe, I do want to address the stretch run. When you say it was a slog, you do have to look at the strength of competition. They played the toughest part of their schedule late in the year. And I'll circle six games. They played a six-game stretch in which they played Minnesota twice, at Tampa, Calgary twice, and I'm trying to think of the other team. Well, Colorado was in there. I mean, it was just murderer's row. So I don't know a single team that St. Louis was in there where they got blown out. And that was the thing. They got blown out a couple of times at Tampa and at St. Louis. But had that happened at the beginning of the season and that they had the second half and the first half, it would feel a lot different. And I don't think that you can overlook enough the loss of UC Soros. If they had not lost Soros, they still would have been the seventh seed, and they've been playing Calgary. We would have been Calgary last night. And I think that's a totally different matchup. And it's their loss. Look, they blew it, right? They still should have won that game. They had chances still to play Calgary. But if they play Calgary with UC Soros, I think it's a totally different outlook. So there was a lot of reasons why I think they came back to earth. I think they had overachieved early in the season, in fairness. And I think they hit a little bit of a wall with some of the young players who hadn't played 82 games down the stretch. But again, what were your expectations going in? 97 points and arguably the deepest division in the league. I think that's a success.
Willie Donick on with us here on Robbie and Rexro. So Willie, to that point, the plan and transitioning to younger players, do you think the Predators have reached the point where, with the cap space that they've acquired, they're ready to go out and be aggressive this offseason to fill some of these holes? Because I agree with you, there is a plan. My concern with the plan that I have is you have Roman Josi in his prime. You have Matt Duchene, a great season. We'll see what happens with Philip Forsberg. But my concern is by the time the young guys come along, the guys that are in their prime right now are going to age out of it, and you're going to be in the same spot that you're in right now, which is right in the middle. Do you think the plan now involves being a little bit more aggressive, maybe free agent-wise, this offseason, obviously with the Philip Forsberg domino still to fall as well?
Yeah, that's where you start, for sure. But I think that's really the big question, Robbie. And no, there's no doubt that they've done a good job with the plan to get to this point, right? They've now created the cap space. They've allowed the young players the last 2 years to play. For example, it didn't go well for Ellie Tolvanen. It didn't go well for Luke Cunningham. Phil Tomasino had a very good rookie year, but he was not ready to be a second-line player, especially in the playoffs. But they now have a better evaluation on those guys. So they can decide who are we keeping, who are we staying in that role with. Tanner Janot, Yakov Trenin, all of these guys, Alex Carrier, Dante Fabro. But Adam's point was a good one. Is there a real high-end talent there that's going to emerge? Maybe Tomasino makes a jump. I think we're all hopeful that that can happen. We were all hopeful, I think, that Ellie Tolvanen would make a big jump, and he didn't. So I think that's where the tough decisions are going to be made. But you have the flexibility to go forward with that. I heard you guys discuss this in the last segment. You know, does David Poile have the green light to spend whatever he wants to spend? He has for the last 10 years or so. There was a time, Joe, before you got to town, where they absolutely could not. He was restricted. He was not allowed to spend. He could not go past the middle at all, and that was a big hindrance, and that made it very tough for them to build a good team. But those days have been over. Now, the pandemic and the stuff that Wayne called our show with the same stuff the other day, it's a fair question because everybody in the league is dealing with the fact that they couldn't have fans last year. So I'm going to still assume that he's going to be able to do what he wants to do to address the needs of the team. And so I do think it's probably going to have to be some smart maneuvering trades or free agency to try to close the gap on the elite teams.
Willie, just in terms of John Hines, what would be your evaluation of his tenure in Nashville so far?
I would say he's done an outstanding job. I think the team, and you guys know this, when Peter Laviolette was let go, I think the team was broken. It was a very talented team, but they had lost some of that edge and that identity that they had built. And when it was at its height, it was a great, great thing, right? But by the time he came along in January of 2020, it was a team a little bit lost. And I think it took a long time for him, under some tough circumstances, right as the pandemic hit, to sort of reshuffle and create a culture and environment that is a good one. And again, Joe, you made the point. The way it ended this year is not a good feeling, but overall, he's created a culture and environment that's fun, energetic, enthusiastic, and I think through a slow, tedious process, he's really gotten through, for the most part, to Johansson and Forsberg and Duchesne, guys that were really struggling for a while there. So I think he's done a great job, and I think the key is now, can you take the next step forward and give him a few more weapons to compete with the elite teams in the league? Because it's not easy in the Central Division. Yeah, and you'll see this when Colorado plays whoever they're going to play, St. Louis or Minnesota. That's a vastly tougher second round. It's going to be like the Predators and the Jets a couple years ago, as opposed to Edmonton, Calgary, Dallas, and LA. My goodness. I mean, there's the strength of team in those two brackets, huge difference.
Well, Willie, it's a great conversation. Looking forward to more of it coming up today on the DDC. I'll be joining the show at 11 o'clock, and we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Guys, anytime. I would have been listening anyway. I'm always on my morning route listening to you guys, so great job. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Willie. Thanks, appreciate you. Willie Donick from the DDC, also play-by-play for Bally Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts and your reaction, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. There's a new way to hear us on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can check us out on 106.3 from downtown Nashville to Spring Hill on I-65 and to Murfreesboro on I-24. You now have two choices to hear our great sports programming and the Nashville Predators. Check out 106.3 now and save it as a preset. We got a lot of good feedback from 106.3, so glad that people are enjoying that out there. Talking Preds and their plan moving forward. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike from Montana, who's been waiting patiently. Mike, thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thank you, guys. And sorry for going long-winded on Tuesday morning.
It's all good, Mike.
You had to cut me off. I was on a roll, so I'll keep it shorter this morning. But, no, great interview with Willie. I've been really frustrated by his talking points because I've always felt like he focused on youth, and that's why I called in earlier. I was hoping to put a bug in your ear to ask him about this, but you did anyway. And that was, the question is not youth, it's talent. And Chris Johnson from Sportsnet put it best. He said, fans want a winning team or a plan. And I think a lot of us, yeah, we're being reactionary, we're being emotional, but there's also a lot of us that understand that there is a plan in place. We just disagree with it. And I think the problem I have with Willie's current position is that I think he has a tendency to isolate Nashville into a vacuum and analyze them from a standpoint of, well, we've got 40 goal scorers and we got Yossi and we got good goaltending. But the problem is that when you stack up our team against other teams in the league, there's a clear talent gap, and there's just nothing that we see out of our system that's going to cover that. And I'd love for him to focus more on that element and say, hey, here's who to look forward to, Igor Avanasyev or Luka Evangelista or whoever, you know, that's coming up that we can kind of cling on to. Otherwise, it's just kind of, okay, we're going to go into next year and do the same thing. So thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. I mean, the thing that I keep going back to in this conversation, let's think about the elite teams, right? You've got Tampa Bay, who, by the way, we'll see if they can stay alive tonight. Toronto, you know, Colorado. You can go up and down the list. What do they have in common?
Florida's looking good again.
Florida's looking good again. They've got elite players down the middle. Not good players down the middle. Elite players down the middle. Ryan Johansson was really good this year. He's not elite. Mykal Granlund was really good. He's not elite. And that's, look, that's something the Predators have been searching for the entire history of their franchise. They had Peter Forsberg for like 17 games, and he was hurt, and it just wasn't, it was not vintage Peter Forsberg. Other than that, they've not had that elite level guy. Now, they paid Duchesne to be that guy and for him to be a centerman, and he put up those numbers this year. He did so from the wing. And I'm not saying there's not value there, because obviously there is. But there's just, like, watching Nathan MacKinnon in this series, you're like, okay, well, that guy is just different. And the Predators don't have that guy. And that's a huge thing to have on your side come playoff time, is that guy.
Yeah. And it's hard. You just can't count it. You just cannot count on doing it. So, you know, the St. Louis example is given. That's an example of a team that won it without having that, right? The question is, well, look, that may just be, I mean, you have to go with what you have, build on it, and then you just have to, but what they had was a ton of depth. They had an incredible goaltending performance. I mean, a lot of things that came together. And I will, like, Ekholm brought it up the other day, and we talked about it, but I'll bring it up again. I mean, he made a good point. Basically, to paraphrase, like, you know, a lot of things came together in 17. That wasn't some incredible team. From that point on, though, it was like, okay, so now you have a Stanley Cup final team now. So, okay, keep going with that. Now, granted, they did win the President's Trophy the next year, so it's not like you. But the eliteness of that team was in the decor, right? And the goaltending. I mean, that's – so, like, there's different ways to do it. But ideally, you have what you just said. You start there. If you have that, then you've got a leg up on everybody else who doesn't. That's just hard. But looking at this team, what do you do? You know, what do you do to create that?
I mean, you got to draft it.
Anybody who is that, you're not finding them on the free agent market, right?
Probably not.
And then you got to draft them. So, do you want to take? Someone earlier in the text line, we've had so much today that I've lost track of it. But someone earlier said, okay, you know, there's a lot of I'm here for the complete rebuild, all this stuff. But someone said, well, then I'm getting rid of my tickets if they do that. You know, essentially, and you get that too. It's like. I mean, there are a lot of people who are like, okay, I'd rather see like a competitive team that's fun to watch and like at least they can play with other teams and get in the playoffs and have some kind of hope than total garbage. So there is that perspective too.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Anthony. Anthony, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just a quick statement and then a question for you guys. I didn't grow up a hockey guy. For the last 20 years, I've been learning more and more, and especially diving in the last 10 years or so. I think I'm okay with a couple of stars and a bunch of grinders like we had before, a hot goalie. But come playoff time, man, your stars can't go to sleep and your grinders have to grind. And much like when a quarterback buys his offensive line, everybody a watch or a car or whatever. If I were Soros, I would be buying my defense coal or liver or something for hanging me out to dry night after night after night by turning the puck over in the defensive zone. That's what it looks like to me as a non-hockey guy. But what I wanted to ask, I hear a lot about Poile, and you know, in football, it sounds a lot like, let's say, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel get together and talk about who they want to draft and what their vision is. And it sounds like in hockey, the GM has a lot more sway. Am I right in that, or is that just how it seems here, or that we're just talking more about Poile than
That's a good other? Question.
Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, yeah. I think here, certainly, that's been the case. I mean, you've had the same GM since day one.
But I would just assume that Trotz would have had a pretty close partnership with him on personal decisions.
Yeah. Well, and I think John Hines, look, you know, David Poile has been the one that's made the moves the last couple of years.
They fit Hines' style.
But they fit Hines' style. And I think John Hines has probably certainly had some sway in that. So, you know, they've obviously made it a point of emphasis to be bigger and to try to be stronger and play more of that grind-style game. Now, ultimately, is that what's going to win you a Stanley Cup? I don't know. I mean, the perfect formula to me to winning a Stanley Cup is basically what Colorado is right now, and that is very quick, very fast, very skilled, and they can't get pushed around. And the Predators did not push Colorado around in that series. I mean, that's the balance you want to have. I don't think the Predators are close to that balance right now.
Someone on the text line says, tank for Connor Bedard. There you go.
There you go.
Number one pick in 2023.
Yeah.
He's like 5'9 and weighs about 48 pounds. But I'm sure he's very good.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on the Grizzlies, a big win last night. Get our thoughts on the Titans as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.